you, just a few verses. I could read all the verses, but for the sake of time, I just want to read three of them, okay? James 1 and verse 2. My brethren, count all joy when you fall in the divers temptations. Verse 3. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Now go down to verse 12. Blessed is a man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Our dear Father, tonight we thank you for those who've come to your house. Lord, give us strength to listen to the word of God and then to take heed to it. Lord, may you edify your people. May you encourage them. May the blessed Savior be exalted by what we give tonight from this pulpit. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. May be seated. Our passage deals in this very crucial area of trials. And child of God, we all go through trials. 1 Peter 4:12 says, Beloved, think it not strange concern the fiery trial, which is a try you. Romans 8:18 says, For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time. 1 Corinthians 10:13, There is no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. And so look, we will go through trials. We will suffer. We'll go through intense temptation. And the day from this passage, I want to show you what the Word of God teaches on this crucial area of trials that we all face. And the first thing I want you to observe is the believer's attitude regarding trials. Look at verse 2 again. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall in the divers temptations. The word temptations there means trials or testings. Therefore, the Word of God says, count it all joy when you go through trials. Count it all joy when you go through testings. Now look here. You are not joyful that you are going to suffer. That you're going to go through pain. No, but you are joyful in what this trial will produce in your life. Hebrews 12:11, now no chastening for the present, seem to be joyous but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceful fruits of righteousness unto those which shall exercise thereby. Look, we all go through things that are not pleasant, they were not invited, and they're not attractive. And yet, the things they produce in our lives could never be achieved any other way. Therefore, child of God, my attitude, your attitude, regards of what we go through, our attitude ought to be one of joy. Nehemiah 8:10 says, For the joy of the Lord is your strength. 2 Corinthians 12:10, Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in the stresses for Christ's sake. For when I'm weak, then am I strong. In John 16:33, Jesus said, These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. And so, child of God, whatever I go through, whatever you go through, our attitude ought to be one of joy. But second of all, I want to show you the believer's attainment because of trials. Look at verse 3. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Now look here. The word patience there does not mean a passive, laid back, nonchalant acceptance of circumstances. Oh no. The word patience here means a persevering endurance in the face of opposition. Let me illustrate this to you. Many years ago in South Carolina, I had a dear friend who who gave me permission to hunt on his deer stand. Well, the problem was I had never hunted this tree stand in the dark. I've only hunted once in the daylight. It was about a mile back in the woods. And so I got up at 4 o'clock in the morning and made my own breakfast. You know why? Because my wife refuses to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning and make my breakfast when I go deer hunting. So I got up and made my breakfast, and then I drove 30 miles down to this town in Lounsville, South Carolina. I got my flashlight. It was pitch black. And I began to go to my tree stand. And I got so lost. I got so turned around that at 8 o'clock, guess where I ended up? By my truck. And the sun was shining. The sky was blue. And the birds were singing. And I was infuriated. And I said, I'm going to go home. I can't believe this. And so I got to my truck and I said, no, I can't give up that easy. So I began to go to my tree stand. It took me an hour to go to the tree stand. I got there at 9 o'clock. I climbed 30 feet up the tree stand. I sat down. I no sooner sat down, I put my gun across my lap. And when I did, a bulldozer starts up and three chainsaws. They're cutting the woods down. I said, I cannot believe this. And I got so upset, I said, that is it. I am now going home. So I tied my gun to a rope. I lowered my gun, and then I stood up. I stood on the limb that big. When I stepped on the limb broke. Congregation, at 40 feet, at 30 feet, you could die at that height. And I began to fall. And only because of my great West Virginia agility. To this day, I don't know how I did this, Pastor. I grabbed hold of a limb. And I mean this other limb went crashing down the ground. And I was scared so badly, I was shaking all over. And I got down the bottom of the tree. I picked my gun up and I said, I am going home. When I just spotted some pine trees. And just read in a magazine a week ago that deer love pine trees. So I said, I'll go down there. And I began to walk down there, and I no sooner got down there, I heard something walking. I looked up, and there was this big, deaf buck. He had to be deaf. Didn't hear the bulldozer starting up, the tree chainsaws, the limb crashing out of the tree, me falling out of the tree. And so I pulled up, and I shot, and I missed him. Well, Savinsky's never miss. And the deer looked at me like, what is this? So I shot again, and the deer took off running. And I said, I cannot believe this. This is it. I'm going home. And honestly, I stopped walking quickly to my truck. Well, all of a sudden, I said, I can't believe I missed that deer. And so I began to walk up there where I thought, I shot the deer, you know? And I'm walking around, and all of a sudden, I heard something getting up. I looked up, and my eyeballs got this big, that big buck. I did hit him. He was getting up. And so, he's only around 15 yards in front of me. So, I pulled my gun up, and I went to shoot, and my gun jammed on me. And so, I'm walking behind the deer. Look at me. I'm walking behind the deer. I'm trying to get the gun unjammed when the deer dropped over and died. And I walked up there and said, I knew I was going to get you all the time. Yeah, sure. Well, I had no water. I had no food. I had a rope smaller than my little finger. Remember, I'm a mile back in the woods. I did weigh the deer afterwards. He weighed 200 pounds. So I began dragging this deer, this heavy deer, back to my truck. When all of a sudden, I heard a drum so loudly. It scared me. I said, who on earth is in this woods with a drum that loud? And guess who it was? It was me. I said, Jerry, don't panic. Lie down. I laid down five times as I dragged that deer through two creeks, over a fence, up a hill that steep. I dragged him halfway up. I'd go sliding all the way back down. And finally, I got the deer on top of the hill. And I'm telling your congregation, I was absolutely exhausted. And I stood there and I said, what I think I'm going to do, I'm going to go. By the way, congregation, it's always a bad sign when you start talking to yourself in the woods. And so I said, well, the thing I'll do, I'll go get the truck and bring it out to this deer. And so I got to my truck. I'm standing on the running boards. Look at me. I've got both thumbs on the button. I have no energy in this body. I'm trying to push the button, and I can't even get the button in. And when I finally did, it knocked me off the running boards. I fell on the ground. I laid there for a few moments, and then I got in the truck. And I drove the truck out to the deer. And I was going to drag that deer from the front of the truck to the back of the truck. And I grabbed the deer by the leg like this. I couldn't move him an inch. And so I said, what I'll do, I'll go and back the truck up and bring it back to him. And then I can put him in the back of the tailgate. And so I began to back the truck up. And when I did, the truck went off the road and I buried the truck up to the axles. And by that time, friend, I was ready to suck my thumb. And I didn't know what to do. I'm way out in the boondocks. So guess what I did? I just put the limbs under that tires. And then, with my great West Virginia driving skill, I just floored it, brother. I tore half of that woods up. And I got that truck out of that ditch. I backed it up to that deer. Took all of my remaining strength. Got that deer in the back of that truck. Shut the tailgate. And look at me. When I drove home, I could not use my hands. I could not hold the steering wheel. I was driving home, driving with my wrist like this over, and people looking at me as they're going by like I'm crazy or something. And you know what I did then? I began to go through everything that went wrong that morning. Wanted to get my tree stand before daybreak. Got lost. End up at the truck at 8 o'clock. Sun shining, sky blue, birds singing. I get mad. I'm going to go home. Can't give up that easy. Begin to sneak to my tree stand. Get there at 9 o'clock. Climb 30 feet up the tree stand. Sit down. Bulldozer starts up. 3 chainsaws. I get mad. I'm going to go home. Put my gun on the rope. Lower the gun. Step on the limb. Limb breaks. I'm going to die. Grab hold of a limb. Get down by the tree, pick my gun up. I'm going to go home. Can't give up that easy. Walk down in the woods, see some pine tree. See a big buck, shoot, miss. Shoot again, deer takes off running. I get mad, I'm going to go home. Can't believe I missed a deer. Go back up there. Did hit the deer. He's getting up. I'm going to shoot. Gun jams on me. Trying to get the gun unjammed. Deer drops over, dies of a heart attack. I began to drag the deer through the woods. I'm going to die of a heart attack. Lay down 5 times. Dragged that deer through 2 creeks, over a fence, up a steep hill. Got the truck stuck. And then I screamed with all I had in me. But I got him. Now you know something, congregation? That is exactly how it happened. Now tell for one reason. It seemed like every time you go through a trial, it seems like everything just goes wrong and things get worse. And the average child of God says, what is the use? But child of God, look at me. There are certain things you will never, never experience. If you do not have this persevering endurance in the face of opposition, the Bible says to you in Galatians 6:9, and let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. 2 Timothy 2:3, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Proverbs 24:10, if thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. And so, child of God, you need to realize there are certain things we never, never will attain if we give up and don't have this persevering spirit within us. But third of all, look at verse 12. We find the believer's acclamation. Blessed is a man that endureth temptation. For when he's tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Look this way, congregation. You know, it seemed like there are some people who go through the storms of life. It seemed like the storm engulfs them. It seemed like there's no ray of hope and there's no way out. And yet, somehow, they surface above that storm and God Almighty puts a crown of honor on their lives. For example, Job in the Old Testament was a man of God who lost 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 donkeys at once. And then his 7 sons and 3 daughters were all killed at once. And then his body was racked with boils from the sole of his foot to the crown of his head at once. He lost his wealth. He lost his family. He lost his health. Completely wiped out. And the man of God said in Job 13:15, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. You know what, child of God? Whenever you cannot trace the hand of God upon your life, you must trust the hand of God upon your life. Psalm 37:5 says, commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him. Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. Proverbs 3:6, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Isaiah 26:4, trust ye in the Lord forever, for the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. You see, congregation, God is in control of our lives. That's why Job said in Job 23:10, when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. The same in my life. The same in your life. Everything I've gone through, God has done a work in my life. You see, Psalm 66:12 says, we went through fire and through water, but thou broughtest us out into a wealthy place. And so tonight, our Heavenly Father will put a crown of honor upon your life, if your attitude is one of joy, if you got the persevering spirit in the face of opposition, then one day God can put the crown of honor upon your life. However, if a person's unsaved, my friend, I've got news for you. It seems like the only time people call upon God is when they're going through a major crisis of life. You may not believe this, but on September 10th, by the way, which is my birthday, in 2001, I was preaching over in Mexico with Brother Dan Malden. When I was with Brother Dan Malden preaching the Word of God, I got through preaching on that night. And when I did, on Monday night, I don't know why I said this. To this day, it was a prompting of the Holy Spirit, but look, we had around 200 people that night in the meeting, and I said, congregation, before I dismiss you, I don't even know why I'm saying this, but God's prompted me to say it. And these are the exact words I said. America has no time for God. And America will have no time for God until there's a major catastrophe in our nation. The next morning I was in my office. Pastor Dan Malden came running in my room, said, Jerry, are you a prophet or what? I said, what do you mean? He said, you've not heard? I said, heard what? He said, come to my office. Look what's on my television screen. And I saw those planes as they were running into the, flying into the World Trade Center. And I'll never forget, I heard the screams of the people crying out, as you heard in the background, "Oh my God! Oh my God!" That night, with no advertisements, the church was packed with probably over 400 people. And every word I spoke, they hung on to. Why? 2 Samuel 22:7, "In my distress, I called upon the Lord." You see, when the sun is shining on most lives, the sky is blue, you're in good health, and your finances set, you have no time for God. It's often in the hour of a major crisis that God slows you down, that you begin to look one direction. You begin to look to the Lord. I was preaching a meeting in the state of Michigan several years ago. And when I did, a lady was brought to our meeting. I don't know you people that well to know who you are and who's visitors. But you know, this lady brought a visitor. When I gave the invitation, several came for salvation. And this dear lady came for salvation. At the close of the meeting, I'm standing at the back talking. And she said to the person who led to Christ, "Please take me to the man that preached tonight. I must talk with him." So they brought the lady to me. And she said, "Sir, I want to tell you something. I said, "What is that, ma'am?" She said, "Tonight I got saved." I said, "You did?" She said, "Yes, I received Christ as my Savior." I said, "Lady, that's wonderful." She said, "But I've got to tell you something." I said, "What's that, ma'am?" She said, "I have terminal cancer. I just have a brief period of time left on this earth, according to my doctors. For the last few months, I have been going everywhere. I've been searching because I know I'm going to meet God. And my neighbor invited me to this meeting. And when I heard that God loved me, that Jesus died for my sins, I did not know this, that I could have everlasting life. I could have peace with God. I didn't know this." She said, "Tonight, I received Christ as my Savior." I said, "Ma'am, that's so wonderful." She says, "But I'm not through yet. I'm not through yet." She said, "Sir, if it took this terminal cancer," and then she did this, she threw her arms out and she began to cry. And she said, "Then I welcome the cancer, because I now know Christ as my Savior. In my distress, I called upon the Lord." If you don't know Him tonight, I'd pray you'd come to Christ and let Him save you. Let's bow our heads and pray, please. Before I do pray, I'm going to have our pianist play 5-4-1, "Only Trust Him." And as they get ready for the number this evening, and I'll have our brother lead us this evening, I do not know what you're going through, but the Lord knows. You see, Brother Jerry, you may not know the trial that I'm going through, but I'm going through a dark hour. I know how you feel. I can honestly say I know how you feel. If you lost a loved one, if you had loved ones murdered like I have, if you had people commit suicide in your home like we have, if you lost a brother, a father like I have, if you got in your family people with dread diseases of cancer as I have, I can relate. You say, "Jerry, tonight I'm going through a dark time. I'm going through a difficult time. I want you to pray for God to help me to have the persevering endurance. Not to go around moping around, but have the joy of the Lord in my heart. And let God be crowned and put a crown of honor upon my testimony, because I'm going to trust Him. If He kills me, I'm going to trust Him. I'm not going to blame Him or get bitter against Him. I'm going to trust Him." And she starts playing the song of "Only Trust Him" with her heads bowed. You say, "Jared, that is my need Would you please pray for me? Would you voice that to the Lord at this time? Okay, God bless you. God bless you. Yes, God bless you. Others of you, would you, if you're going to raise your hand to the Lord, please raise it to Him. You're voicing your heart to Him, not to me. Anybody else say yes? Like those who've already raised their hand, say yes. Include me, Brother Jerry. Okay, God bless you. God bless you, young lady. Anyone else? The last time I'm going to ask. And now may I speak to those of you who may not be saved. You have no way to turn, my friend, except to Jesus Christ. Christ said, and I, if I be lifted up, would draw all men unto me. You've got to look unto Him. He's the one who died for you. He said, Jerry, I'm not saved. I need to be saved. Would you raise your hand with me this time and say, yes, I need Christ as my Savior. Would you voice that at this time before I close? Last time, I'm going to ask. Anyone like that? Our dear Father, we thank You tonight for Your Word. We thank You, Lord, for the truth of it. We pray, Lord, tonight that You administer the hearts of those who raise their hands, that Christ will be honored as we give the invitation. We ask in Christ.